Well, good morning. Yeah, we're so glad that you're here today, and it is looking like Christmas. Man, they did a wonderful job, all those involved. It is that time of the year, and it's Christmas season, and some of you are ready to go. Some of you are done. How many of you said, man, I've got my Christmas shopping done? Raise your hand, and okay, there you go. Y'all are looking so holy and awesome, and that's great. While the rest of us is just procrastinators, you know, that's right. And so anyway, we're here, Christmas is coming, and this is a season for that. And so that video is awesome. Thank you for your generosity, and thank you for being a part of that. And so many of you gave in so many different ways. You were there, you couldn't be there, but you gave. Maybe gave some meals, some canned goods, maybe you donated. And however you were involved, thank you for being a part of that. So this morning, we are starting Christmas at Lake Point. And here's what I want to do for the next 3 weeks. Next three Sundays, I want to look at the angel. And he made a statement. Three different times, he said to three different groups of people that the angel says, do not be afraid. So I kind of want to ride that idea for the next 3 weeks. You know, do not be afraid. Or if you're from the King James Bible, if you're looking for the King James angel, he said, fear not. And so we're going to look at the do not be afraid, the fear not, the next 3 weeks. And I think it's really interesting. He said, fear not to Mary. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Next week, we'll talk about how the angel showed up to Joseph. And he said, do not be afraid. And then we see the angels showing up to the shepherds outside of the city limits of Bethlehem, and they said, do not be afraid, fear not. And so we're going to talk about fear not, do not be afraid for the next few weeks. Someone once said that fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. However, someone else said this and said, fear is not the opposite of faith. In fact, fear is the faith in the worst case scenarios. And I kind of like that. The fear is the faith in the worst case scenarios. In other words, fear is the faith in the what ifs. The what ifs. And you could say that, fear placing your faith in all these what ifs. What if the economy doesn't get better? Well, what if I lose my job? What if someone I love gets cancer? What if I never, ever get married? What if AI takes over the world? What if? And the fears, right? Just goes on and on and on. What if? What if? What if? And if we're not careful, fear can just drive us to this irrational state of mind and perhaps even panic. What if? And the good news is that according to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but instead he's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. And so here's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the fear of what God might be trying to do in your life. In other words, when God interrupts your plans, and the fear of that. The fear of that. And we're going to look, like I said already, we're going to look at Mary this morning in Luke chapter 1. And see the backstory. We all know who Mary is. If you've been around in Christianity for a long time, Mary is the mother of Jesus. But in this story right here, if we look at it from her perspective, she did not, in Luke chapter 1, and before Luke chapter 1, she did not plan to be Jesus' mom. She did not plan to be the mother of Jesus. When you're reading the story, she's just a teenage girl who is dating someone that she considered to be a very cute man. We call him Joseph. We're going to call him Joey today, right? He's dating Joey. He's engaged to Joey. And what we know is what most teenagers, probably back then and even today, most teenage girls, they have a plan. They have a mindset of the future. I'm putting myself in her shoes, right? She's engaged to Joey. You know, she's really looking forward to a life with Joey. Joey's in the carpentry business, you know, and he's just kind of getting things started. She hopes that Joey has a very successful career. And so she's really excited about it. You know, she's going to get married to this man. They've already got the date, you know, pick out. They've already got the place, pick out at the Bethlehem Wedding Chapel. I mean, they've got it all lined up. And they've got the honeymoon ready, you know, everything planned out. Then they're going to get married after honeymoon. They're going to go to this nice, cute little one-room bedroom apartment. You know, and they're going to kind of get this life going here. She's already got the colors picked out. And so she's really looking forward to it. She's already got baby names picked out for the babies. You know, if it's a boy, it could be Joey Jr., right? If it's a girl, it could be Mary, whatever, you know, Mariette, you know. But she's got names already picked out. She's got a plan. She's got it all figured out. Because that's what most people do. We've got our plans. But we learn in this story that Mary had a plan, but God interrupted her plans. That's what we see in this story. And my question is, has God ever interrupted your plans? I think if we're honest, I think most of us would say, yep, he has. He had interrupted my plan. And we wonder, why does God do that? Why would he interrupt your plans? And we have to remember, even though we think we're pretty smart, that God is a whole lot smarter than us. His ways are always higher, always better than our ways. And that's why it's important to remind ourselves that if you're taking note, that God's purpose is often very different than our plans. All day long. That God's purpose is oftentimes very different from our plans. And we see how this unfolds here in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible says in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, by the way, Elizabeth is a relative of Mary. You know, she's an older lady who was past childbearing age. And then when she was told that she was going to have a baby, her and her husband, remember her husband named Zechariah, he laughed. And then God said, hey, don't laugh. You lose, you know, he couldn't talk for 9 months, you know, and he was a mute. And sure enough, God blessed Elizabeth with a child, and that child eventually became Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. All right, and so that's who Elizabeth is. So in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now this sounds very, very exciting. This angel appears out of nowhere, unexpected, and she said to Mary, hey, you're favored. You're blessed. The Lord is with you. But notice how Mary responds in verse 29. Bible said that she said that she was confused and disturbed. Confused and disturbed. But think about it. Here's a teenage girl, right? She has a plan for her life, and the angel showed up and interrupts her plans. And she was confused and disturbed. She's confused, like, wait a minute, God. Why in the world are you choosing me? Now, why am I this person? If I'm highly favored and you're choosing me, then what is it that you're going to ask me to do, God? What is it? Because I've got my own plan. I've got a 5-year, 10-year plan. But not only is she confused, but she's also very disturbed. She said, God, I don't like this. Not one bit. You're messing with my plans. Have you ever felt that? You know what you want? You've got a direction that you want to go to, And then all of a sudden, God closes the door on your plans. And you get frustrated. You're like, God, I don't understand. I don't get it. You're confused. You get a little disturbed. You say, God, I'm not happy about what you're doing in my life at this moment. And God interrupted Mary's plan. And what I've discovered in many years of studying the Word of God and many years of watching God work through His people, this is what I've discovered. If you're taking notes, what we call God disturbing interruptions are often God divine invitations. What we see God's interruptions in life are oftentimes God's invitation for something else. What we call an interruption, God says, hey, I may be taking you out of your plans, but I'm actually leading you to my purpose. To my purpose. You might be saying, well, God, I don't get this. This is not what I want. I don't understand why you're doing this. But God said, hey, your plans weren't my purpose. I'm interrupting you and your plans to take you towards my purpose for your life. We see this throughout the scripture many, many times. For example, God interrupted Moses with a burning bush. Moses was minding his own business on the backside of the mountain. And God interrupted Moses and he said, hey, you're standing on holy ground and I'm going to call you out from where you are and I'm going to take you back to Egypt so that you can deliver my people. He interrupted his plans. God interrupted David when he was taking care of his sheep. He shows up to David and says, hey, I've got a much bigger assignment than you. You're going to be the next king of Israel. I've got a bigger purpose for your life. God interrupted a man named Saul while he was persecuting Christians. And God sent a light from heaven and interrupted his plan. He said, hey, I have chosen you as an instrument, as a chosen vessel to take the gospel to the Gentiles. I have a bigger purpose for your life, Saul. God may interrupt your plans. You thought you were going to marry that person, but God interrupted that plan because he had something else and someone else for you later on. You thought you were going to retire with your company, but God interrupted that plan because he has somewhere else for you to be. You had a plan, but God had a purpose. And so verse 29, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. You know, that sounds so much like us. We try to figure out God, don't we? We're trying to figure it out, trying to figure out what he's trying to do. You know, when our plans get interrupted, we say, God, I don't get it. What are you trying to show me here? God, I want the details. Show me what's up, God. Show me what's happening. God, I just need to understand what's going on. And I want to remind you, again, if you're taking note, that you can trust that God has a purpose even when you don't understand the plan. Sometimes we're not supposed to know the reasons. Sometimes we're not supposed to know the why. Sometimes we're not supposed to know the details. In fact, if we knew the details, God might say, if I gave you the details, then you may not even go through with it. Because the detail might be too big. And so I'm not going to give you the details. I just need you to trust me, even when you don't understand the plan. And so the angel said in verse 30, he said, and here it is, don't be afraid, Mary. Do not fear. Fear not. For you have found favor with God. Favor. You found favor, Mary. Now, what is favor? I've got the definition for you right here. Favor is the undeserved blessings that God generously pours out on his children whom he loves. God lavishly displayed blessing on you and on me. He just pours it out. Even when we don't deserve it. the favor of God. And sometimes you're just going to go through life and you're going to be like, wow, that God, that was a favor. That was a God wink. That was the favor of God that you gave me. That blessing might be a small blessing, might be a big blessing, but God, you look at God and say, God, thank you for that favor. I was in Dallas, Texas, and I was in the airport on my way back home to back then, going home to Pensacola, Florida, and we had I had a flight from Dallas to Houston, and then from Houston to Pensacola. So I'm sitting there at the airport in Dallas, and while I was sitting at the gate, this man came in his official, I believe it was Continental Airlines, if I remember correct. He was wearing a Continental Airlines shirt. He came up to me while I was sitting there by the gate and said, Scott Blanchard. I'm in Dallas. And by the way, this was the first time I've ever been in Dallas in my life. I've never been to Dallas. And so I look up and he said, Scott Blanchard. And I look at him and then I recognize him and say, hey, you know, what's going on, buddy? He said, hey, man, this is where I work. I work right here. In fact, I'm the gatekeeper for this, you know, for this place that you're sitting at while you're waiting for the plane. I said, well, that's awesome. And we got to chatting and asking me what I was doing in Dallas. And finally, he said, hey, let me see your plane ticket. So I gave him my plane ticket. That was back then when you actually had a physical piece of paper and you gave it to him, you know. And he went behind his desk, opened up the computer, set a few things out, printed out a new ticket, and gave it to me and said, hey, this is first class. Now, first class, now listen, if you ever get to go on first class for free, the favor of God here, I'm telling you. The favor of God all day long. For all my life, when I got on a plane, I always had to walk past the special section. I mean, they're all sitting there with their drinks and with their snacks. They don't even make eye contact with you because, you know, they're too special, right? I mean, and so you kind of walk through, and I'm walking through with all the other common people, the village people. We have to walk past, you know, the special section, and we walk toward the back of the plane where prison is. I mean, that's prison, and they give you jail food back there. He gave me first class. And so we get to be the first on the plane. And I'm sitting on row number one, right next to the window. I sit down in a nice, comfortable chair, more comfortable than the chairs I had at home. You know, they gave me a warm washcloth. And I was like, what is this about? You know, and so they give you a nice scented washcloth and to wipe your face clean. I mean, your face isn't dirty because you're not sitting back there in the back of the plane. Wash my face. You know, they give me, hey, what kind of drink do you want? I mean, they're serving me before the common people came on the plane. The village people, you know. So I sit there and I got me all my drinks and I said, what kind of snacks do you want? You know, and so, I they give me a snack, and then find people start filing in, and I don't make eye contact, you know. I mean, and then they just give you snacks nonstop. I mean, they brought out a warm chocolate chip cookie, not a plate, and they gave me a fork to eat it. I mean, if that's not the favor of God, I don't know what is. I mean, I'm like, okay, this is wonderful. I mean, it's just nonstop. Now, here's what's laughable about the favor of God. This was probably, the flight from Dallas to Houston, it's like flying from Detroit to Flint. I mean, of all the time to get a free first class, I got the shortest leg of a plane trip in America. 25-minute, 30-minute flight. So I tell you what, I milked the favor of God for all it's worth, every minute. I just said, keep it coming, baby. Keep bringing your snack. You know, free refills. Favor of God. You know what's amazing about the favor of God? It's not just a nice seat on a plane. It's not material blessings or financial blessings. It's sometimes favor is like a really good relationship. Favor is like really being a part of a great church. Favor is just having good health. Favor can be a lot of different things, the favor of God. And Mary, right, she found favor. You know, and if I'm Mary, I'm thinking, okay, God's about to give me a favor here. The favor of God. I'm probably thinking that my wedding is going to get paid for now. The honeymoon's going to get paid for. And maybe it'll be on a reality TV type wedding. It could be the whole thing. But what does the favor of God, what does it look like for Mary? Bible says in verse 31, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. Now, I bet Mary at that moment said, wait a minute, hold on. I was going to name him Joey Jr. You know, the favor that you're telling me is that I'm going to be pregnant. And I'm not even married yet. And then you're already naming my kid for me. Angel keep talking, right? Verse 32. He will be very great. Will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. So Mary goes, okay, you've chosen me, some little girl, to give birth to the Son of God. Now, and I can't prove this, but I'm sure she's thinking, God, that's a lot more responsibility than I was ever thinking about at this point in my life. I mean, how would you feel if God said, hey, you're going to raise the Son of God? I mean, there's a lot of pressure. That's a big load of responsibility. When the angel tells this young teenage girl, you're going to raise the Son of God in your home. And you can just imagine the emotion that Mary is going through, the ups and downs. I mean, at first it's like, okay, wow, I have been chosen for this, the mother of the Son of God, the mother of the Messiah. And then, boom, the emotions just kind of pivot, go the other way. She's like, oh no, what are people going to say about me? Because I'm going to be pregnant out of wedlock, and my community and my family, I don't know if Joseph is going to understand all this. In fact, being pregnant out of wedlock, I could be stoned to death for this in this time. You can only imagine that conversation she had to have with Joseph, which we're going to see next week, where she said, hey, Joey, honey bear, are you sitting down? I've got some news for you. I'm pregnant. Listen. The Holy Ghost did this to me. I'm sure Joseph was saying, what? Which we're learning more about next week. Here's what I want you to know about the favor of God. I want you to hear this because it's so important. Sometimes God's favor doesn't seem favorable at first. It doesn't seem favorable. Perhaps you're dating somebody. You think, man, this is the one. He's the one, or she's the one. And all of a sudden, it comes to an end. And you go, God, this is not what I wanted. Perhaps, though, that was the favor of God. That one day you're going to look back, and you're going to look back, and one of the biggest praise reports that you'll have is that God broke up that relationship so that you could be with someone else. It didn't seem favorable at first. Perhaps you just thought, man, I'm going to get this job promotion, or I'm going to get the job. But then you don't get the promotion, or you don't get the job. Or worse, you lose the job. And you say, God, I don't understand this. Where's the favor in this? It doesn't seem favorable. But what you don't know is that God has something different, something better for you down the road. The angel said to Mary, you're going to have a baby. In verse 34, Mary asked the obvious question at this point, how can this happen? I'm a virgin. How is it possible? This sounds crazy. This doesn't make sense. Have you been there? God, this doesn't make sense. And look what the angel said to Mary. Verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. And in verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. For nothing is impossible with God. Can you say that out loud to me? For nothing is impossible with God. And the angel reminds you that no matter what you're facing or what you need, with God, all things are possible. All things. I don't know what you're worried about today. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what if is hovering over your head, what fear that you have. I need you to know that God, whatever situation you're in, God can intervene. He can make what looks impossible, possible. God can bring the right person into your life at the right time. God can do that today. God can transform, you know, relationships, broken relationships that's in your life. He can do that today. God can provide and meet needs that you have in your life today. God is a healing God, and he can heal any sickness. He's the healer, the great physician. God is your savior. He forgives. God can forgive any sin that the devil continues to throw back at you, saying, hey, you are what you did. And Jesus comes along and says, you are not what you did. You are who you are because you've been forgiven in Christ Jesus for what he did on the cross for you. You are not what you did. And that's what Satan wants to remind us of. And he reminds us that all the time. But wouldn't you be reminded that we are, because we are a child of God. We belong to him. And so God can intervene in your life. All things are possible. So I believe the question, as we kind of land the plane here, I believe the question that God would like for you to answer is this. What is God asking you to do or believe? What is it that God is asking you to do? What is it that God is asking you to believe? Now, like Mary, is God interrupting your plan and calling you to do something different? Is he calling you to trust him in an area that you've been trying to control? What is it that God is calling you to do or believe? Now, for some of you, it may be to start a life group or host a life group. Maybe to start a ministry. For some of you, that might be to go back to school and get a degree in something. Maybe for some of you, it might be to reach out to someone, try to mend that broken relationship. For some of you, God might prompt you to give generously. Be faithful in the way that you give. What is God calling you to do or believe? And the angel of the Lord tells a teenage girl, hey, you're going to give birth to the Savior of the world. Do not be afraid. Trust me. Trust me. You have found favor with God. And what does Mary realize? she realizes that she has a choice to make. She's at a crossroad. She can continue on in her plans, or she can trust in God's purpose. And Mary realizes something that I hope that you realize, and that's this, if you're taking notes. The outcome is God's responsibility. How it plays out belongs to Him. My responsibility, my role, is to simply obey. The outcome belongs to God. Obedience belongs to us. To trust God's voice, to trust His word, to trust His purpose, even when we don't understand the plan. Our assignment is simply to obey Him. And so Mary responds. And I love how she responded. And I pray that this will be your response as well. Look at verse 38. Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." She went from confused and disturbed. "God, you're messing up my plans. I don't like what you're doing." She come to a place of surrender. She said, "Lord, I am your servant. I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant." Can you repeat that for me? "I am the Lord's servant." One more time, say it with me. "I am the Lord's servant." I want to be honest. I want you to be honest with me. Are you? Are you? I know a lot of Christians like, "I want to do God's will. I want to do God's will. For sure, God's will, and we want to do it." I don't know about you, but I want God's will for my life until it's different from mine. Y'all with me? Hey, I want God's will until it's different. And I said, "Whoa, whoa, God, this is not what I was thinking the will is." God's will. Sometimes the biggest blessings are on the other side of surrendering your will and trusting in God's purpose. And some of you miss it because you won't surrender. You won't let go of your plans to trust God's purpose. And you miss His blessing and favor in your life. "I am the Lord's servant. My life belongs to Him because of who He is. He is Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who never sinned, who is perfect in every way, who gave His life on the cross, who rose again so I can be forgiven because of what He did for me. My only reasonable response to Him is all of me. And it should be all of you." A few weeks ago, well, we have my wife had made some Facebook posts about a young man, 36 years old. When I was serving at the church in Florida, he was a 10-year-old kid. He was a good kid. I watched him grow up in the youth department, just have a heart for God. By the time I was leaving 15 years ago, and to move up here, he was a young man in his 20s, 20, 21 years of age. I just felt like God had something for him and started to kind of take over the college ministry that I kind of got started at the church, and he was kind of taking the baton and reaching college age kids and just kind of blew it up and, by, you know, just doing a great thing. Eventually found a wonderful lady named Brianna, and they got married and have a little child named Cooper, 7 years old. And he just involved at the church, same church that I was at, a deacon, became a deacon at the church, and he was just one of those salt of the earth kind of a guy. Give you the shirt off his back. And about a year ago, received the heavy news that he had cancer. We kept trusting God, praying for healing, praying for a miracle. And about 2 weeks ago, he came to the end of his fight and went from earth to heaven. And you know, the community that I'm still connected with, so brokenhearted. My wife actually has been mentoring the wife for the past 4 or 5 months. Just been able to help her through things and counseling from a 1,000 miles away. And they had a funeral the past Wednesday. And ironically, I almost made it. I was supposed to fly to Pensacola for a basketball tournament, but plan got interrupted. My son got sick, and we didn't end up not going. I hear it was just a wonderful service that it was. And then yesterday, Brianna, Justin's wife, made a beautiful post, long Facebook post. I'm not going to read the whole post, but she was thanking everybody for coming to the funeral. And all the thoughts, all the messages that you've received. And then she said this, and I hope this lands for a lot of you here today. She said, even still, God is using my husband, Justin, to reach people and grow the kingdom of God. 7 people at the funeral made the decision to accept Christ as their Savior. Not only did Justin lead people to the Lord with his life, but also in death. Nothing is more fitting. He told me very early on this year, if God needed to make him sick longer to reach more people, then he was okay with that. About 3 weeks ago, he told me that God was going to heal him, and I said, but what if it's not here? And Justin said, then that's his will. That's his purpose. Even the day before he passed, he told me he'd see me again. He wasn't scared. He wasn't worried. So if you're here reading this and you're not sure where you go if you die today, reach out to me. I'd love to show you how you can know for sure. I don't know this morning what you're facing today. Whatever is weighing on you right now, whatever you're facing, the what ifs in your life, I want you to know that the same God that was with Mary, the same God that was with Justin and Brianna, that same God is also with you. I hear from heaven the truth of God. I pray you hear this. Don't be afraid. Fear not. For you have found favor with God. And the Lord is with you. Even as you walk in the unknown, his purpose is always bigger than your plans. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you for your word. Thank you, the power of your word, that you are with us, that all things are possible with you. God, I know we get frustrated when plans get interrupted, but God, help us to trust in you. We don't have to understand the why, but we can trust in the who, and that you are in control of it all. And so God, help us to face the future with you, with hope, with purpose, a bigger purpose than our plans, knowing that you can do all things, and that all things are possible, even when it doesn't seem possible. And so God, help us. We seek your favor in our lives, even when it doesn't seem favorable at first. We trust that you're with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.